Great, thanks, Owen. So do keep that passage open because we're going to be looking at it in a little bit of detail. But before we do that, let's just pray again, shall we? Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you that we can be here this morning. Lord, we thank you that you are here with us, that that is your promise. And Lord, we thank you for these words before us. Lord, we pray that you would not only speak to our hearts, Lord, and strengthen us and equip us through what Paul has written, but Lord, we think of the kids in the children's group, Lord, and the leaders serving you by teaching the children. Lord, we pray in all of this you would be at work by your Spirit, Lord, that you would be at work in our hearts now by your Spirit, Lord, teaching us and leading us and giving us wisdom, Lord, and helping us to see you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I find it pretty hard to imagine what it would be like to be in prison. That's not something I hope I will ever experience. It's something I wouldn't want for any of us to experience either. I did visit someone in prison once when we were living in France, and I remember that it was a really horrible and depressing place. I only did it once, but I can still remember the feeling of confinement, of isolation, of dark oppression. And that kind of situation, I wonder what I would do. I wonder how I would cope if I found myself locked up in a prison. How would I react? How would I respond to that situation? What would I think? What would I feel? What would I do? Wouldn't like it, that's for sure. And those questions are relevant because of the passage that we're looking at this morning, the one that Owen just read to us a few minutes ago. He read from a letter that is clearly written from prison. And it's quite something to read a letter that's been written from prison. I know that some of us here have received letters written by people in prison, and they're not like other letters. The person writing this letter is Paul, and he's writing to Timothy. It's a letter that we started looking at a couple of weeks ago. And it's one that we're going to continue to read and explore for the next few weeks, so it's worth taking the time to read it, to read the whole letter, try and find out what Paul is writing about. Because, in fact, there are quite a few letters in the Bible. Most of the books that we have in the New Testament are, in fact, letters. Some of them are written to churches, groups of people. Some of them are written to individual people, like this one to Timothy. And most of the letters that we have in the New Testament are written by Paul. There are other letters, but quite a few of them are written by Paul. But this one here is different. This one here is different. Being in prison is something that Paul experienced in his life quite a few times. And there are other letters that Paul wrote from prison or when he was under house arrest, but there's something very different about this one because this is probably Paul's final letter, the very last letter that he wrote. And if we were to try to imagine writing that kind of letter, I wonder what we would want to say. If this was the last letter, what would we want to include? What kinds of things would we want to communicate? If we were in a situation where we thought that we were writing the last letter that we would ever right. So keep that in mind, and let's just read the passage again. It's only a short passage, but I want to see what stands out to us, given the background, given the context of this letter. So chapter 2, verse 1. Then, you then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. Join with me in suffering, like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. The hard-working farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all this. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for which I am suffering, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Here is a trustworthy saying: if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Powerful words. And I wonder what grabbed your attention, what stood out from that passage. Seems to me that there are three things to notice, three things to pay close attention to. First of all, I'm sure you picked this up, there are quite a few instructions in this passage, a lot of instructions in the whole letter. And Paul is encouraging Timothy to do certain things, which isn't surprising. If this really is Paul's last letter, then there are things that he wants Timothy to know that he has to do. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That's the first instruction in this passage. The things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will be able to teach others. These are instructions that Paul wants Timothy to hear and to understand and to take on board. It's not the first time that Paul has said these things. It's only the second chapter of this letter, but already Paul is repeating the same instructions that he gave in the first chapter, reinforcing the importance of what Timothy is supposed to do. At the end of chapter 1, it says, What you heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. And repetition and reminders are so important because we're forgetful people. We're easily distracted, and Paul knows that's true for Timothy as well. And it's important for Timothy to know what he's meant to do. So that's the first thing, there are instructions. The second thing that stands out is also a very brief summary of Paul's message, the gospel, the good news. And this is what he says in verse 8 of chapter 2. Remember Jesus Christ, descended from David, raised from the dead. This is my gospel. And those two things, that's a very short summary of the gospel, but those two things, Jesus raised from the dead and descended from David, are the essential parts of the message that Paul has been preaching, and he wants Timothy to preach, and he wants other people to preach. And Paul mixes that gospel summary, that message, with his own testimony. He says that he is chained like a criminal. He's in prison. He's bound. He can't go anywhere. At other points in his life, that wasn't such a problem. He said, what does it matter if I'm in prison? Other people can preach the gospel. And in fact, other people were encouraged to preach the gospel because Paul couldn't, because he was in chains. But here he's facing the end of his life. He talks about being a prisoner in chains, but then he says, but God's word is not chained. God's word is not chained. And he's enduring what he's enduring, being in prison, being locked up, facing execution. For what reason? He says that he endures everything for the sake of those who will believe his message. What he's done and where he is for the benefit of other people. And Paul has experienced God rescuing him from dangerous and difficult situations before, and he's confident that God is going to rescue him again. He's experienced that in the past, and he knows that that's what he can look forward to in the future, the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. So we've had instructions, we've had this summary of what the gospel is, and then finally there's something that Paul adds, which is a trustworthy saying. Here is a trustworthy saying in verse 11. And it seems like Paul is quoting something. He's quoting something that has been repeated before, that he's heard before. And it's a saying that's worth repeating. If we died with him, if we died with Jesus, then we will also live with him. If we endure, if we keep going, just as Paul is keeping going, then we will reign with him. And you need to just stop for a moment and think about that. What does that mean? If we died with him, if we died with Jesus, then we will live with him. Right back at the beginning of this letter, Paul says that he's an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. This is God's purpose, that he is an apostle, that he has this role of preaching the gospel in keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. And this is the promise of life. If we died with Jesus, then we will live with him. But what does that mean? It's past tense, isn't it? If we died with Jesus, we will live with him. It's not if we are going to die, like Paul may very well do. It's if we died, if we've already died with Jesus. So what does that mean? Yeah, died to ourselves. Exactly, Sarah. So when we believe in Jesus, when we come to that point of trusting what Jesus said and did, there's a change that happens in us. We die to ourselves. There's an old version of ourselves that is dead, and a new version of ourselves which begins to live. And we can ask ourselves, has that happened? Has that transformation begun in us? Has God done that in our hearts? Have we died with Jesus? Because if we have, his promise is that we will live with him. And that's an amazing promise. But it involves death. It involves putting things to death, our desires, our old nature, things to do with our old life have to go. We can't just continue to live as we did before we came to know Jesus. But if we've died, then we will live with him. And more than that, if we endure, we will reign with him. So what does it mean to endure? What's endurance about? Can someone help us? What's it mean to endure? I'm going to ask Owen or Matthew. If we're enduring, what does that mean?
Persevering.
Pushing through. We're keeping going. Because believing in Jesus is just the start. The new life that we get from Jesus is just the start. We then have to keep going. We have to keep going all the way to the end, just like Paul is doing. This letter is so helpful to us because if we want to know what does it mean to be a Christian, what does it mean to follow Jesus, the best way is to look at an example. And we can look at each other. We can look around this church and see examples of people who are following Jesus or trying to follow Jesus to the best of our ability. And when we look at a letter like this, we see Paul's example of what it means to follow Jesus. And it's not just Paul's example. What's he doing in this letter? He's encouraging Timothy to keep going and to do the things that Timothy's already doing, but Paul wants him to carry on because Paul himself is coming to the end of his life. Paul's not going to be able to carry on. He's probably not going to be coming out of prison. He doesn't know how much longer he's got. But Timothy, writing this letter to Timothy is going to make all the difference. If we were in prison, if we were facing the end of our lives, what would we do? Would we write a letter? If we did, who would we write the letter to? What would we say? We would be sad. We would be feeling like the weight of the world was on us. But rather than just going down into depression, what Paul did was to write to Timothy and to tell Timothy what he needs to do to keep things going. Because if we think about it, it's nothing short of a miracle that we have this letter today. This letter was written by a man in prison, probably in Rome, sent to someone in Ephesus, miles away. The fact that we have this letter and we can read it today and we can think about what it says is nothing short of a miracle. In some sense, it's the reason why we're here today in this church. It's because of what Paul wrote in this letter. That's how important this is. It's not just any old letter. It's not something we can read and forget about. This letter is probably the reason, part of the reason, why we are here today. And I know from my own experience that reading the Bible can be difficult. It was written a long time ago, and we struggle to make sense of some of the things written in it, but that doesn't mean we give up. We keep going, because if we endure, we will reign with Jesus. And in fact, the message that Paul is wanting to communicate through this very letter is, don't give up. Even if things are difficult, don't give up reading, don't give up trying to understand, don't give up trying to help other people to understand what life's all about, who Jesus is. Paul's instruction in verse 7 is really clear. Reflect on what I'm saying. Why? Why do that? Why reflect on these things? Why think about these things? Because the Lord will give us insight into all of this. And that for me is a huge encouragement to keep reading and to keep thinking and to keep searching and to keep questioning and to keep talking and discussing with one another, what does this really mean? And what difference does this make to us? These aren't just any old words. These are so important. It's like a treasure. A treasure that we can plunge ourselves into. A treasure that we can help one another to understand better. Reflect on these things and the Lord will give you insight into all this. Endure hardship. Suffer for the gospel. Keep going. Remind God's people of all these things. These are the instructions that Paul gives. And here is a trustworthy saying. You can trust this. And the things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable, trustworthy people who will also be able to teach others. Paul is saying to Timothy, you need to keep going and you need to pass this on. What I'm telling you is what other people need to hear. Other people who will then teach even more people to do the same thing. This is a chain reaction. This is a relay race for life. This is what it's all about. Being a Christian isn't just turning up at church on a Sunday morning. It's not just reading the Bible or praying from time to time. This is life. This is the fullness of life that God wants for us. This is a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will live with him. If we endure, we will reign with him. If we disown him, he will disown us. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful because he can't disown himself. These are words for us to think about, to take to heart. And if we do that, the Lord will give us insight into all of these things. So as I've said, the reason we're here today in Portswood Church, looking at this letter, thinking about what it says, is because Timothy did what Paul wanted him to do. And the question for us today is, are we going to play our part too? I believe we are playing our part. I just want to encourage us to keep going. This is so important. We each have an important part to play in fulfilling God's plans and purposes. We need to continue. We need to keep going. We need to persevere and endure and play our part just as we're doing. And one final thing that's very noticeable and striking about this passage and the whole letter is that it's all about Jesus. If we want to know what we should be focusing on, the easy answer is it's Jesus. It's all about Jesus Christ. We see that at the beginning of chapter 2. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Not just be strong, not just work out, not just kind of be physically fit, but be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Just like the promise of life, the life is in Christ Jesus. Just as the grace that we've been shown is grace that's in Christ Jesus. And it's how Paul finishes the letter as well. If we quickly turn right to the end of chapter 4, this is how Paul finishes his last letter. These are his very, very last words. He says, "The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you all." We need God's grace. We all need God's grace all the time, every day. So if we want to know what the promise of life is about, this promise of life in Christ Jesus, it's not because of anything we've done to deserve it. God has saved us. And he's called us to a holy life, a special sort of life, a set-apart sort of life, not because of anything that we've done, but because of his own purpose and grace. And this grace was given us in Christ Jesus. This is a free gift. This is a gift that transforms life, given to us in Christ Jesus. When? Paul says, before the beginning of time. This is what God has planned before he created the universe. But it's now been revealed to us through the appearing of our Saviour, our Rescuer, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death. So death is no longer the problem that it was for us. He's destroyed death. He rose from the dead. And he's brought life and immortality to light through this message, through this gospel. And it's this promise of rescue, this promise of salvation that Paul's, he's already experienced it. He's been in prison before and he's been set free. That's one example of him being rescued. He's also been rescued from his old way of life. He was a man who was persecuting those people who followed Jesus. And he met Jesus. And Jesus turned his whole life around, just as he's turned our lives around. And Paul's confident. His confidence is so clear in this letter. He's confident that God's going to rescue him from any and every situation he's going to face. God will not let him down. And this is a confidence and trust that he's able to write about and express even in prison, even when he's facing death. He's going to be rescued. He might die in prison, but he's going to be rescued because Jesus is his Saviour. The end of his life on earth is not going to be the end, just as it's not the end for us. He says that he's run the race, he's kept the faith, and now there's something waiting for him. And he uses these three illustrations of a soldier and an athlete and a farmer, and he says that he's like an athlete, he's kept the faith, he's kept the rules. He's like a soldier living to please his commanding officer. He's like a hard-working farmer. He's been sowing the seed. He's been working the land so that other people can hear this message. It's quite something to know that you've reached the end. And what you want to do is to pass the baton on to the next person and the next generation. You can sense it in almost everything that Paul writes in this letter. He is praying for Timothy night and day. That's a huge challenge. I don't know that I pray night and day for anyone. But he's praying for Timothy. He's confident that God will be at work in Timothy's life. He's confident that Timothy will pass on what he's heard to other people, and that God will be at work in their lives as well. And that's the way it goes from 2,000 years ago when this letter was written all the way down to today. And that's why we're here, because God is faithful to his promises. Just like Jesus, Paul saw those future generations of faithful followers who would come to believe, because this really is good news. This is the gospel that Timothy is to pass on to others, that Jesus has destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Paul gave his life for this message, and he wasn't ashamed in any way. Even if he was in prison, even if he was chained up, even if he was going to be executed, there was no shame in that. Because it was all for God, all for the gospel. He had entrusted his life to God, and he was sure that God would come through for him. What he discovered about Jesus being the Messiah, the Christ, the Lord, his King, his Rescuer, his Redeemer, made all the difference. So what about us? What about us here today? Do we see ourselves in this succession of generations, from Paul to Timothy, from Timothy to reliable people who were able to teach others, from those people to many, many more people down through the centuries, to us today? Do we want to play our part? Are we playing our part? I think we are. But it's not easy. Just as it wasn't easy for Paul and for Timothy, the need for encouragement is always there. But God is faithful to his promises. Our lives can make a huge difference. God has placed us where he has placed us, with the people that we know, our colleagues, our family members, our friends. We're here for a purpose, and that purpose is revealed through this letter, through the whole of the Bible, but this letter in particular tells us what God wants us to do, to be like Timothy, to be ready to do whatever the next generation needs us to do so that they can have this good news as well. So we're not even halfway through. Next week, Rachel's going to help us. And we'll explain even further why this is so important. So come back next week for that. Let's just pray together. Lord, we thank you that you have given us everything we need. Lord, we thank you that you are faithful to your promises, Lord, that you're at work in our lives, and that through us you will work in other people's lives. And Lord, please help us to understand your plans and purposes, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.